This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Over the course of this, of these lectures, we've been going through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grouping up the names that have similar meanings. And so several of Allah's names, they have similar meanings and can be grouped together under one theme. As we near the end of the names that we find in the Quran and the Sunnah, we have several names that don't really go together in terms of their meanings. And so from now on we'll take those remaining names. And so inshallah ta'ala we'll take approximately four names every Friday that don't have any particular relation to one another. And so today the names that we have are Al-Hayy, Al-Sittir, Al-Jamil, and Al-Tayyib. Al-Hayy, Al-Sittir, Al-Jamil, and Al-Tayyib. Although out of these four names, two, you know, they do go together, as we will see when we cover their meanings. And so these names, unlike many of the previous names that we have covered, none of these four names are mentioned in the Quran. None of these four names are mentioned in the Quran. However, they are mentioned in various ahadith. So Al-Hayy, which is different than Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy we covered previously. In the very beginning, we did Al-Hayy with Al-Qayyum. And so Al-Hayy is the all-living, from Al-Hayat. Al-Hayy is two ya's at the end. So Al-Hayy is only one ya, ha and ya. Al-Hayy is ha and two ya's. And this comes from the word Al-Haya'u. Al-Haya'u. And so this name has been mentioned in two ahadith. The first one is the hadith of Ya'la ibn Umayyah radiallahu an, found in Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, the Sunan of Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, and graded as authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw a man who was bathing, washing in a public area without anything to cover himself. So he wasn't wearing any izar or any lower garment. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got on the minbar, praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and said, "Inna Allah azza wa jal hayyun sittirun yuhibbul haya'a wa sitr yuhibbul haya'a wa sitr fa'idha ghtasala ahadukum falyastatir." That Allah is Hayy and He is Sittir. So whenever one of you washes, takes a bath, let him to cover himself. Let him to cover himself. So this is the first hadith. The second hadith is the hadith of Salman radiallahu an, found in Abu Dawood and at-Tirmidhi, also graded as being authentic by Sheikh Al-Albani, and this is a hadith that we previously took, because there's another name in this hadith, and that is Al-Karim. Al-Karim. And so in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna rabbakum hayyun kareem, yastahi min 'abdihi idha rafa'a yadayhi ilayhi an yaruddahuma sifra." That your Lord is hayy and kareem, generous, and he is ashamed to turn away the empty hands of his servant when he raises them up to him. And so we spoke about this hadith previously. And so these are the ahadith where Allah's name Hayy is mentioned. As for As-Sittir, it is mentioned in one hadith, and we've already mentioned that hadith. So the hadith we mentioned, where the Prophet ﷺ saw a man bathing in public without anything to cover himself, and then he got on the minbar and he said, "Inna Allaha Azza wa Jal Hayyun Sittir." So this is where Sittir is mentioned. As for Al-Jamil, Allah's name Al-Jamil, it is mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned in two ahadith. The first is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, found in Sahih Muslim. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That none will enter Jannah who has an atom's weight of kibr, of pride in his heart. So a man, he asked, "Ya Rasulullah, what about a person who likes to wear fine clothes and fine shoes?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal. Wal kibru batrul haqq wa ghamtun nas." He said, as if to, you know, basically approve that there's nothing wrong with wearing fine clothes. He said that Allah is beautiful, Al-Jamil, and He loves beauty. But rather pride, and then he defined what pride is. He said pride is to reject the truth. When the truth comes to you, to reject it because of your pride. And this is like the, you know, the kufr of Quraysh, who many of them, they disbelieved even though the truth was clear to them. Why? Out of pride, out of arrogance. So this is rejecting the truth. And the other thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned as being coming under kibr is despising people. To reject the truth and to look down on others. And so this is Allah's name, Al-Jamil. Actually, it's only one hadith. This hadith is the only place it is mentioned. The other name that we have is At-Tayyib. At-Tayyib, and that is found in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allaha tayyibun, la yaqbalu illa tayyiba." That Allah is tayyib, He is good, and He does not accept anything except good. And then he went on to say, "Inna Allaha amara al-mu'minina bima amara al-mursaleen, faqala ta'ala ya ayyuhal ar-rusul kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihan, wa qala ta'ala ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has commanded the believers to do that which He has commanded the messengers with. And then he recited these two ayat. The first is, "O messengers, eat of at-tayyibat, eat of good wholesome foods, and do good deeds." And Allah commanded the believers with something similar. "O you who believe, eat of the lawful things that we have provided for you, halal." And then the Prophet ﷺ said after that, ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنى يستجاب له. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then mentioned a man who, having traveled very far, and he is in a messy, untidy, and dusty condition. So you could see, you know, the need of this man. He's in need of the mercy of Allah and the help of Allah. So he spreads out his hands to the sky saying, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, making his dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, while his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, and he nourishes with haram, so how can he be answered? How do you expect that Allah would accept his dua? So what this hadith teaches us is the beginning of the hadith. Inna Allaha tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. That Allah is good and pure, and he only accepts that which is good and pure. And that's why such a person, his dua would not be accepted. So these are the four names. What do each of these names mean? First of all, al-hayy, it means that Allah is modest. So it comes from al-haya'u, which means modesty or shyness. And so when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being described as such, we say it is in a manner befitting His majesty. So it is not like the modesty, the shyness of human beings, which is a feeling of shame when you're afraid that you're going to be criticized for something, for doing something that is blameworthy in the eyes of the people. So you don't do it in front of them because of that shyness, that modesty. But that is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say Allah is modest, that He is shy, it means in a manner befitting Himself, not like us human beings. And so His modesty and His shyness is that He doesn't do that which does not suit the vastness of His mercy and His generosity. He doesn't do that which goes against the vastness of His mercy and His generosity, like not answering the dua of the believer when he puts his hands up to make dua, as mentioned in the hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah is shy, and then explaining that shyness, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he feels shy, or he is shy not to answer your dua. He feels ashamed to leave you empty-handed, even though he is so merciful and so generous, and everything in this world belongs to him. So it is not suitable that when the servant asks, that he doesn't give. So that's the meaning of the modesty and the shyness of Allah. As for as-sittir, it comes from the word as-satr, which means to cover, to conceal, to hide. And so it means the one who conceals, the one who covers and hides and does not expose his believing servants when they sin. And so this comes from his mercy and his kindness. Even though we sin day in, day out, and in order to sin, we use the blessings of Allah. And so we're in need of Allah. And yet Allah is not in need of us, nor is He in need of any of our obedience. Yet yet he is kind enough to us to cover our faults and our sins, and he is not quick to punish us. He gives us time. He covers our faults, our sins. He gives us chance after chance to repent and to fix our ways. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-sittir. As for al-jamil, it comes from jamal, which means beauty. And so it means the beautiful one. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful. And as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, the beauty of Allah, his jamal, is at four levels. At the level of his very self, his very being, at the level of his attributes, his sifat, at the level of his actions, and at the level of his names. And so the beauty of Allah covers all of that. He is beautiful in and of himself, and all of his names and attributes and also actions are beautiful from every angle, from every perspective. And then he goes on to say, talking about the beauty of Allah in terms of himself, his own self, his being. He says, Ibn Qayyim says, as for the beauty of his that, his very being, it is something that none can perceive except Allah himself. No one besides Allah knows of it. And whatever we have of knowledge, whatever we have of knowledge concerning Allah and his beauty, are mere definitions that Allah has shared with those he has honored from among his servants. So what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his beauty is real. We cannot deny that. But it is something we cannot perceive. We cannot even imagine. It is beyond our human imagination and the capability of our intellect to perceive. So this is al-jamil. As for al-tayyib, it comes from the word al-tayyib, which means that which is good and pure. That which is good and pure. And this is from all aspects, from all respects, from all angles. And so that includes the goodness in terms of his very being, as we said, and his names and his attributes and his actions. And so this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every imperfection and from every defect. That's because the opposite of good and pure is what? The opposite of good and pure is bad. And, you know, something that is tainted, something that is defected. And so because Allah is a tayyib, nothing comes from him except that which is tayyib. And so Allah is a source of all good. Nothing comes from Allah except that which is good. No evil comes from Allah. And that's based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدَيْكِ وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكِ. That good is in your hands. All good is in your hands, O Allah. And evil is not attributable to you. So, because Allah is al-tayyib, because of the fact that that is who he is, whatever comes from him is going to be good. And so that includes everything that he has legislated. Everything that he has decreed, it is good for us, even if there are certain things that he decrees that we may not see the good in it, but it is there. And it also means that nothing goes back to him except that which is good. So whatever comes from him is good, and whatever goes back to him is good. And that's the meaning of the hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ الطَّيِّبْ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That Allah is good, and He doesn't want anything except that which is good. يعني from us. He will not accept anything from us unless it is good. So that includes actions, that includes words, that includes dua, as mentioned in that hadith of that person who, you know, his entire life is in haram. And then when he makes dua, it gets rejected because it's not coming from a good source. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. That good words elevate to Allah, they go to Allah. So only good goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, we move on now to the lessons that we learn from these names of Allah. The first lesson that we learn from these names, and this is a lesson that we learn from all of these names together, combined. And that is, not only these four names, but in general, all of the names of Allah, but especially these four names. And that is, that the names and the attributes of Allah can never be perceived or comprehended fully by us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayy, and He is As-Sittir, and He is Al-Jamil, and He is Al-Tayyib, all in ways that befit Him, that are suitable for Him. And so these names and their attributes have meanings that are known to us. They have meanings that are known to us. And we've spoken about the meanings. But their descriptions and their details are not known to us. And it is something that we can never comprehend. And so we have to differentiate between these two things: the meanings of Allah's names and attributes, and the hows, the descriptions, the details. And so each name and attribute of Allah has a meaning that is known to us. To say that we don't know the meanings is to say that Allah has revealed the Quran in words that don't have any meanings. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran tells us that He has revealed a book that is clear. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about Himself in terms that don't make sense to us, that are void of any meanings? So that's why we say that the names and attributes of Allah have meanings that are known to us. What are those meanings? Those meanings are what is apparent, as defined in the Arabic language, as we have explained. And so there are people who say that the names and attributes of Allah don't have any meanings that are known to us. They say we leave that knowledge to Allah. So then the question is, what are you worshipping and who are you worshipping? And what is the point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about Himself throughout the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us about Allah if those names and attributes have no meanings? But we say yes, when it comes to describing and giving details, that is where we say we have no knowledge of, and we're not allowed to delve into that. That is where we say we're not allowed to delve into. And so the hows are only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. And so whatever you imagine of Allah, Allah is far above and beyond that imagination of yours. Why? Because there's nothing like Him. And that includes your imagination. The second lesson that we learn from these names is that these names should help us to develop a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts because of what Allah does for us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayy. And because of that modesty and that shyness, He doesn't turn our du'as away. He doesn't leave us empty-handed. And He is As-Sittir, covering up our faults, not exposing us. Naturally, you're going to develop a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you learn the meanings of these names. The third lesson that we learn, and this is from Allah's name, Al-Hayy, is to be modest and shy ourselves. To be modest and shy, first and foremost with Allah, in the sense that you don't want to be in a state that is displeasing to Allah when Allah is watching you and when Allah is seeing you and Allah is aware of everything that you're doing and where you are and what state you're in and what condition you're in. You don't want to be in a state that is displeasing to Him. And this is something that only a person of Iman can feel. Only someone who has Iman in his heart will feel shame when he commits a certain sin. Where does that shame come from? It comes from his realization that Allah was watching me. You know, while I was in this state in which He is displeased with me, and He doesn't like it. So that feeling of shame, al-haya and modesty, first and foremost with Allah. Secondly, with others. In the sense that you do not want others to see you in a shameful state. And this modesty, this kind of modesty, is one of the levels of Iman that the Prophet ﷺ spoke of in the hadith of the branches of Iman, when he said that Iman has over 70 odd branches. The highest of it is saying La ilaha illallah, and the lowest of it is to remove something harmful from the path. And then at the end of the hadith he said, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And haya or modesty is a branch of Iman. However, this shyness and this modesty, it should be one that is balanced and measured. And so it should not be a shyness that prevents one from seeking knowledge and learning. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah is not shy or ashamed of the truth. The truth should be spoken, and the truth should be taught, and the truth should be learned. Shyness should not prevent us from learning the truth. As that Sahabiyya, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using these same words. She wanted to ask something, she wanted to gain knowledge of the ruling of Allah concerning something, but it is something that naturally we're shy to talk about, and especially a woman. So she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Allah is not shy of the truth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And then she asked her question. Her question was that if a woman has a wet dream, does she have to perform ghusl? So the Prophet ﷺ obviously answered, yes, she has to. But the point here is, what we learn from this is that shyness this hayat that we have, it should be balanced. It should be measured. And it should not prevent us from learning about our deen. Also, it should not prevent us from worshipping Allah or obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like those who are ashamed of going out in the public, in the society, showing that they're a Muslim. Or, you know, a sister who says, I don't want to wear hijab because, you know, I'm shy of what my friends will say, for example. So this shyness should not prevent us from worshipping Allah and obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is what Allah's name Al-Hayy teaches us. The fourth lesson we learn from Allah's name As-Sittir. And so this name, which means the one who covers, the one who hides our faults, it teaches us to cover and conceal, firstly, our own faults and our own sins, and not to expose ourselves when Allah has covered us. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a very famous hadith, kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirun, that every one of my ummah, he is forgiven except those who expose their sins, or they do their sins publicly with no shame. And then he gave an example. He said, a man who commits a sin at night, which Allah has covered for him, nobody knew about it, and then in the morning he comes and he tells the people, last night I did such and such, while Allah had kept it a secret. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, during the night Allah had covered it up, but in the morning he tears up the sitr of Allah. He tears down the curtain that Allah had placed and provided him with. And so the first thing is to cover our own sins. The second is to cover and conceal the sins of others and the faults of others. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man satara musliman, satarahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah." That whoever covers the faults of his brother, of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover him on the Day of Judgment. And so we're not supposed to go around talking about others and their sins, exposing them, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had covered them. However, there are exceptions to this. There are exceptions that the ulama mention, like people who are fusaq and evil. And so they should be warned about their evil. And other exceptions that are mentioned. But in general, the rule is that we're not supposed to expose the sins and the faults of others. The fifth lesson that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being as-sittir, is not only in this dunya but also in the akhirah. And so we mentioned that Allah being as-sittir means He covers our faults. And what we understand from that is that He doesn't expose us to others. We do certain sins and Allah covers us and doesn't expose us in this dunya, but also in the akhirah. And this is taken from the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that each one of us will come near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Allah will bring us near to Him on the Day of Judgment. He will bring us in His shelter and in His screen, His veil, away from the eyes of the entire creation, And then he will ask us, did you commit such and such sin? And so we will say yes. Then Allah will say, did you commit such and such sin? And we will say yes. And then Allah will make us to confess all of our sins. And this is obviously for the believers. And then Allah will say, I screened and I covered them for you in the dunya, and today I forgive you for them on this day. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover our faults not only in this dunya but also on the day of judgment. And this all emanates from the mercy and the kindness and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who deserve it. To those who deserve it. The sixth lesson that we learn is that As-Sittir teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind enough to us by covering us, by not exposing our faults. But that does not mean that we persist in sin. We should not learn from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most kind and I could now do whatever I want. He will continuously cover me and not expose me with that hope. And then forgetting about fearing Allah. And so that's why fear and hope have to go together. And we should not lean to one side more than the other. So we should not lean to the side of hope to the point where we no longer fear Allah, nor should we lean too much to the side of fear, where we fear Allah to the point where we lose hope in the mercy of Allah. And so we have to balance the two. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covering us should make us fear that if we continue and persist in our ways, then a day will come when He'll no longer cover us and He will expose us. And so He's giving us time. He's giving us chance after chance. Let us not delay our tawbah until it is too late. From the name Al-Jameel, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful. And there is none more beautiful than Him. And this is, as we mentioned, a beauty that can never be explained. A beauty that we can never imagine with our minds. But it is only something that we will be able to witness in the Akhirah. And this is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our eyes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. And this is why the true believers, they look forward to that day. And they look forward to the day in which they will see Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in a dua of his, he mentions several things that he asks Allah for, and among these things is وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ الْكَرِيمِ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ. That, oh Allah, I ask you for that delight and that joy of being able to see you and the joy of meeting you. So it's something that the believers look forward to, and it's something we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Also, we learn, and this is the eighth point, we learn from Allah's name Al-Jameel, to keep ourselves clean and looking beautiful. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. But obviously that should be within the limits that Allah and His Messenger have allowed us. Not going beyond the limits. Especially for women showing their beauty to those who Allah has forbidden. And so when we say that we should not expose our beauty, when we say that, it means to an extreme. And we shouldn't go into extremes and, you know, become extravagant in beautifying ourselves. That's one extreme. The other extreme is to not take care of your cleanliness and not, you know, not keep yourself clean and looking good and beautiful. So there's a balance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see the athar of the ni'mah that He has given us upon us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَثَارَ النِّعْمَةَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Allah loves that we show the traces of His ni'mah that He has blessed us with. Finally, the last point that we'll mention concerning Allah's name, الطيب, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is good. That's what we learn from this name, الطيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is good, as mentioned in the hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is good and He only accepts that which is good. So this includes all good deeds. It includes words. It includes actions. It includes our du'as. And it includes our sadaqat. So whatever we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be from good sources. It should not be from haram sources. That's with regards to spending and sadaqah, if we want it to be accepted by Allah. And our du'as, as mentioned in that hadith of that man who makes du'a and yet, you know, his income and his source of income is from haram. And only good words elevate to Allah. And only good deeds are accepted by Allah. This is what we learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-tayyib. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to gain understanding of His names and attributes and to apply them in our lives. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.